VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here today on VCY America. Today we are going to be having a news roundup day. Yes, it's earlier than normal, but in light of Mother's Day coming up this coming weekend, we are going to be having a special program tomorrow to honor your moms. And so therefore we trust you'll be able to join us for this, a very inspirational kind of program, and we'll give you opportunity to honor your mother on tomorrow's edition of Crosstalk. And as such, we're having a news roundup day here today. And despite the fact that we're a little earlier than normal, Lori has been extremely busy in gathering stories and getting information here, because there is so much that is going on internationally. There's a lot going on here within our nation, and certainly there's a lot going on in individual states across the nation. Certainly, I trust that you will understand the times in which we live, and to see the threat of war that is looming all around us, as far as the world affairs are concerned, countries rising up against countries, nations against nations, the threat of war taking place. Many times we have Israel that is caught in the crosshairs, violence taking place against this nation, just as Scripture foretold. We're told that in the last days, perilous times will come, that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. And certainly this should perk up our ears to what Scripture has said is true, it's accurate, and then the importance for people across this nation and around the world to come to faith in Jesus Christ, and those who do know Him as Savior, that they would be the salt and light that God has called each of us to be. So we're going to have a review of many different stories and issues that are going on across this nation. We trust it burdens your heart to be more effective prayer warriors, and also we just appreciate those of you who are supporting the stations that provide Crosstalk to you through their share-a-thons, such has been the case with the stations out of Danville, Kentucky, and out of Chattanooga, Tennessee, and through the Rejoice Network recently, and now even VCY America through the Days of Praise share-a-thon. Please get behind and support the stations that provide you Crosstalk. We're going to begin with the situation brewing with North Korea. FoxNews.com reporting North Korea fired two short-range missiles today, according to the South Korean military, as the U.S. responded with an intercontinental ballistic missile test of their own just 10 minutes later. The U.S. insisted the timing of their own test was entirely coincidental. The firing comes just 5 days after the North Korea launched a barrage of short-range projectiles from its east coast through its state media. The North described the earlier firing as a defense unit's test of its rocket launchers and tactical guided weapons. Thursday's firings come as the Trump negotiator for North Korea, Stephen Biegun, begins visits with Japan and South Korea to discuss North Korean denuclearization efforts. Fox also reported that the U.S. government said today that it has seized a North Korean ship used to transport coal in violation of sanctions. The Department of Justice announced that the firing of a civil filing of the forfeiture complaint against the North Korean cargo ship is called the Wise Honest. The Wise Honest, one of North Korea's largest bulk carriers, was used to illicitly ship coal from North Korea and to deliver heavy machinery to BKRK. The payments for maintenance, equipment, and improvements of the Wise Honest were made in U.S. dollars through unwitting U.S. banks. This conduct violates longstanding U.S. law and United States national security resolutions, the Department of Justice said in a statement. Breaking Israel news tells us that just 2 days after the Alliance of Terrorist Groups in Gaza called for a ceasefire, the leader of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad called the 700 rockets fired at Israel a live fire drill meant to prepare for a war against Israel in which they will focus on killing as many Israeli civilians as possible. The Gazan terrorist groups declared a ceasefire 4:30 a.m. on Monday morning, about to launch rockets at Tel Aviv when the ceasefire with Israel stopped it from happening. This said El Nakhaler. He said, "We will continue until all our objectives are met. What happened in the most recent escalation revelation was a preparation for the next major battle. From now on, the rocket fire will primarily focus on Tel Aviv and other large cities. He predicted that a war against Gaza would be launched this summer. You know, it's amazing to see these firings from Gaza, rocket after rocket after rocket after rocket, and then all of a sudden, ceasefire, you know, we're not going to do it no more. Israel, back down. You know, we called a ceasefire. Well, then, not too long later, we start the firings all over again of projectiles into Israel. Things are brewing in the Middle East, ladies and gentlemen. In another front, from FoxNews.com, the U.S. is sending the USS Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group and a bomber task force to the Middle East in order to send a clear and unmistakable message to the Iranian regime, said National Security Advisor John Bolton. Bolton said that deployment was in response to a number of troubling and escalatory indications and warnings on the part of Tehran. From Breaking Israel News, Iran appears to be moving short-range ballistic missiles aboard boats in the Persian Gulf in response to the U.S. moving this aircraft strike group to the Middle East. U.S. Central Command spokesperson Captain Bill Urban said Tuesday that they had some indications that Iranian and Iranian proxy forces were making preparations to possibly attack U.S. forces in the region. And from the Hill, the Trump administration yesterday imposed fresh sanctions targeting Tehran as both countries escalate the rhetoric over Iran's nuclear ambitions. The White House announced sanctions on the steel, iron, aluminum, and copper sectors of the country hours after Iran said it would stop complying with certain parts of the Obama-era nuclear agreement. Then we also have, from Fox News, last Friday, the U.S. This coming Friday, tomorrow, the U.S. is set to increase tariffs on $200 billion in goods from 10% to 25% unless the U.S. and China agree on a comprehensive trade deal. Just last week, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and the Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin thought that they had a deal almost ready. Mnuchin told Fox Business the deal was close to done. Then China dug back into the 150-page document and started making changes. President Trump said that China broke the deal. Now he may go all the way and add tariffs on the remaining $325 billion of Chinese goods that the U.S. takes in each year. China is threatening reprisals as well. Coming to us from the New American, despite President Trump's declaration of a tariff war in China, Beijing announced that it will send its chief economic negotiator to pay a visit to the American trade officials. That includes to the trade rep, Robert Lighthizer. The Commerce Ministry confirms in a brief statement that the Vice President Liu He, that's President Xi Jinping's trade point man, visiting the U.S. both today and tomorrow. From the Hill, the U.S. military will deploy a Navy hospital ship to South America in response to the worsening humanitarian crisis in Venezuela. The Pentagon will send the USNS Comfort, the same ship seen last year to care for Venezuelan refugees in Central and South America, as part of the ongoing planning that they're doing in the department, said Active Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan. Washington Free Beacon reporting that the Trump administration readying for a new salvo of sanctions on Cuba and Russia for their destabilizing activities in Venezuela that have helped prop up Nicolas Maduro, according to the U.S. Special Representative for Venezuela, who told the Washington Free Beacon in a wide-ranging interview that America is still considering military options to deal with the worsening humanitarian crisis in the country as Maduro refuses to relinquish power. Folks, when is the last time you have prayed for this administration, whether you agree with him or not? When you see all these things that are happening together in world conditions and the mounting up of forces and ships being sent here, aircraft being sent this direction, and I hope you understand things are brewing around the world. Let's move to another issue. Newsmax.com. The White House invoked the legal principle of executive privilege Wednesday to block the release of the unredacted Mueller report on Russian election meddling, challenging U.S. House Democrats as they met to vote on holding Attorney General William Barr in contempt for refusing to hand over the document. Barr last month released a redacted 448-page version of Mueller's report on the findings of his 22-month inquiry. Barr had refused to comply with a subpoena by the House Judiciary Committee Committee for an unredacted version and its underlying evidence. Folks, despite the fact that they say, well, this is going to be kept in the confines of this committee or this group, can you imagine if this were sent totally unredacted, that this is going to be made public through leak after leak after leak? The White House said Democrats forced the move, faced with Chairman Nadler's blatant abuse of power and at the Attorney General's request, the president had no other option than make a protective assertion of executive privilege, White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders said. From FoxNews.com, the House Judiciary Committee voted Wednesday to recommend holding Attorney General Bill Barr in contempt of Congress for defying the subpoena for Special Counsel Robert Mueller's unredacted Russia report and underlying documents after President Trump asserted executive privilege in a bid to protect these files from release. The House leaders will now decide whether to take up the contempt citation on the entire House floor for a final vote. If approved, the measure would be referred to the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, who could choose not to act. House Democrats could also pursue a lawsuit. Fox also reports that House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler led the charge Wednesday to hold Bill Barr in contempt of Congress for not handing over the documents. Proving the move necessary as the country enters what he called, quote, a constitutional crisis. But Nadler took a very different stance on contempt back in 2012, if you remember this, when House Republicans took the same step against then Attorney General Eric Holder for refusing to hand over documents related to the Fast and Furious gun running scandal. That's where DOJ officials tracked thousands of guns smuggled across the border, but did nothing to stop them. Even found one of the weapons involved in the shooting of a border agent. Representative Nadler said back in 2012, just joined the walkout of the House chamber to protest the shameful, politically motivated GOP vote holding AG Holder in contempt. Well, that was 2012, and there's a whole different thought on that at this time. I've got an audio clip I'd like to play for you of Jim Jordan. Congressman Jordan, who spoke out in the recent House hearing he's on the House Judiciary Committee, and he spoke out in regard to the measure that was going on pertaining to the release of this document and shared what was really the plan for this to on the mind of his opponents in this matter. He said yesterday that the Democrats are voting to hold Attorney General William Barr in contempt of Congress and to destroy his reputation and destroy his authority overall, because he said they're afraid that they're going to investigate, that he's going to investigate how a corrupt FBI and DOJ spied on the Trump campaign in 2016 based on a salacious dossier paid for by the Democratic National Committee and the Clinton campaign. At the House Judiciary Committee hearing yesterday, where the Democrats voted to hold Barr in contempt for his refusal to release the unredacted version of the Mueller report. I'm going to air for you that clip, but we're just seconds away from the break, so we're going to take our break here on Crosstalk, and then we'll come back and let you hear what Congressman Jim Jordan had to say yesterday in regard to this discussion on the Judiciary Committee pertaining to holding the Attorney General of the United States in contempt. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Back in just a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, in Genesis 6, we read of the fountains of the great deep. What were these?
Chris, the Bible teaches that at the start of the flood, all the fountains of the great deep broke open. This triggered a chain reaction of events which inundated the earth. I think of these fountains as underwater volcanoes or perhaps seafloor vents where materials deep inside the earth rushed out. Today we find these seafloor vents, which bring up chemical-laden waters, quite unlike seawater, but all at superheated temperatures. It may be that during the flood, these vents brought up a great deal of water which had never been on the surface before, thus providing waters for the flood. This has all been the subject of research among creationist geologists. We're still working on it, but we do so from a back-to-Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Again tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll be having a special time for you to honor your mother, our Mother's Day call-in program. But talking about this hearing in the House Judiciary Committee, I want you to hear what Jim Jordan had to say, Congressman, on the very matter.
Bill Barr is following the law, and what's his reward? Democrats are going to hold him in contempt. I don't think today's actually about getting information. I don't think it's about getting the unredacted Mueller report. I don't think last week's hearing was actually about having staff question the Attorney General. I think it's, as my colleague said earlier, I think it's all about trying to destroy Bill Barr because Democrats are nervous he's going to get to the bottom of everything. He's going to find out how and why this investigation started in the first place. Never forget what Bill Barr said a few weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago, when he testified in front of the Senate Finance Committee. Said a lot of important things, but he said four very interesting things. First, he said there was a failure of leadership at the upper echelon, term he used, upper echelon of the FBI. We all know that's the case. Director Comey's been fired. Deputy Director McCabe fired, lied 3 times under oath, according to the Inspector General. FBI Counsel Jim Baker demoted and left, currently under investigation by the Justice Department. Lisa Page demoted and left. Peter Strzok, Deputy Head of Counterintelligence, demoted and fired. Peter Strzok, the guy who ran the Clinton investigation and the Russian investigation. There was certainly a failure of leadership at the upper echelon of the FBI. Second thing the Attorney General said 3.5 weeks ago in front of the Senate Finance Committee. Spying did occur. Said it twice. Yes, spying did occur. Third, he said, there's a basis for my concern about the spying that took place. And maybe the most interesting thing, 2 terms he used that, frankly, I find frightening. He said there was, in his judgment, he thinks there may have been unauthorized surveillance and political surveillance. Scary terms. We got to go back to January 3rd, 2017. Senator Schumer on the Rachel Maddow show talking about then President-elect Trump says this: if you take on the intelligence community, they have 6 ways from Sunday at getting back at you. Now, I don't know if the FBI went after President Trump in 6 ways, but I sure know they went after him in 2 ways. And the first one is the now famous dossier. On October 21st, 2016, the FBI used one party's opposition research document as the basis to go to a secret court to get a warrant to spy on the other party's campaign. That happened. Democrat National Committee, the Clinton campaign, paid Perkins Coie Law Firm, who hired Fusion GPS, who then hired a foreigner, Christopher Steele, who did what? Talked to Russians and put together this salacious, unverified document that became the basis to get a warrant to spy on the Trump campaign. They did it. And when they went to the court, they didn't tell them important things like who paid for it. They didn't tell them that Christopher Steele had already told the FBI and the Justice Department that he was, quote, desperate to stop Trump. And they didn't tell the court that Christopher Steele had been fired by the FBI because he's out talking to the press. They did that. And second, just last Thursday, New York Times story, FBI sent investigator posing as an assistant to meet with the Trump aide in 2016. FBI sent someone in pretending to be somebody else to talk with George Papadopoulos, who was with the Trump campaign. You know what they call that? You know what they call that? It's called spying. They did it. They did it. They did it twice, and who knows how much more. And what I know is Bill Barr has said he's going to get to the bottom of it. And think about the term he used again. This is important. Political surveillance in the United States of America. I will not yield. Think about that term. He said he's going to put a team together, going to investigate all this. This is critical. And never forget the guy who ran this investigation, Peter Strzok, ran the Clinton investigation and then launched and ran the Trump-Russia investigation. Never forget what he said. Trump should lose 100 million to zero. We need an insurance policy. Told Lisa Page, don't worry, Lisa, we'll stop Trump. This is what Bill Barr wants to investigate.
Congressman Jim Jordan yesterday in quite a contentious day in the House Judiciary Committee. Coming to us from CNSNews.com, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin has rejected a congressional request for 6 years of President Donald Trump's confidential tax returns. In a May 6 letter, the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee, Mnuchin wrote, "As you have recognized, the committee's request is unprecedented and its present serious constitutional questions. The result, a resolution rather, of which may have long-lasting consequences for all taxpayers." Mnuchin said the Treasury Department consulted with the Justice Department, and based on that advice, quote, "I have determined that the committee's request lacks a legitimate legislative purpose. Therefore, the IRS is not authorized to disclose the requested returns and return information." The Washington Free Beacon said House Speaker Nancy Pelosi yesterday asked what she thought about some Democrats raising the prospect of arresting the Treasury Secretary, prompting her to say, "We do have a jail down in the basement of our Capitol." But she said, "But if we were arresting all of the people in the administration, we would have an overcrowded jail situation, and I'm not for that." She's raising eyebrows, FoxNews.com reports, meeting with MSNBC host Al Sharpton, meeting with Nancy Pelosi, with critics pointing out that conservatives are scolded for similar relationships. Mediaite's Caleb Howe spotted a photo of the meeting on Sharpton's Twitter feed and pondered why MSNBC isn't criticized in the same way that conservative outlets are criticized when pundits meet with GOP lawmakers. Nancy Pelosi also made a statement. She declared Tuesday she was addressing an audience at Cornell University's Institute of Politics and Global Affairs, saying, "We cannot accept a second term for Donald Trump." Here's what she had to say.
"We have to make sure, this will sound political, but we have to make sure that the Constitution wins the next presidential election. We can't be worrying about, well, how long is this going to take or that. It'll take as long as it does. And we will press the case so that in the court of public opinion, people will know what is right. But we cannot accept a second term for Donald Trump if we are going to be faithful to our democracy and to the Constitution of the United States. And that is just a fact. So we have to operate on many fronts. We have to operate in the Congress, in the courts, and in the court of public opinion. And we must win the next election."
Nancy Pelosi at Cornell University's Institute of Politics and Global Affairs. Daily Wire also reports that she is warning fellow Democrats that if President Trump isn't defeated by a sizable margin in the 2020 presidential elections, that he won't respect the outcome of the vote and may refuse to leave office. I thought, my oh my, for over 2 years now, we've got those who are not respecting the outcome of the last election. And WND.com reporting that a Democratic congressman has let slip that his party's 2020 campaign strategy centers on impeachment, acknowledging that if President Trump is not removed, the president likely will win re-election. One other note here with Nancy Pelosi as well, and the Western Journal picked up on it. I found it very interesting. With a view that conflicts sharply with the country's founding fathers, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi bragged on Wednesday that Congress is the, quote, superior branch of government. There's an interview on Washington Post Live. Reporter Robert Costa asked Pelosi for her opinion on whether Congress is functioning as a co-equal branch of government. And she said, quote, "I think we're a superior branch, quite frankly. We have the power to make the law, and the president enforces the law, so we have a big role. We're closest to the people, and we have a big role to play." But as Fox News noted, Pelosi seemed to ignore the first three articles of the U.S. Constitution dictating three branches of government, legislative, executive, and judicial. Haven't we heard the terms separate but equal? But no, according to Nancy Pelosi, Congress is the superior branch of government. FoxNews.com, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals late Tuesday granted the Trump administration's request to send asylum seekers back to Mexico to wait out court proceedings temporarily. The court reversed a decision by the San Francisco judge that would have blocked the policy, giving President Trump a temporary victory on immigration. The case must still be considered on its merits at a lower court in San Francisco and could end up at the U.S. Supreme Court. From the Daily Torch, Robert Romano writes that apprehensions on the southern border hit 109,144 in April. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that kind of numbers hitting your community? It's the highest in a decade, according to data compiled by the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. Townhall.com, President Donald Trump took to Twitter Sunday to announce his decision to tap the former head of the U.S. Border Patrol under President Barack Obama, Mark Morgan, as the new chief of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Morgan had opposed Congress attempts to downplay the crisis taking place on the U.S.-Mexico border. Previously, he had told Fox News that he supports sending illegal aliens to sanctuary cities. And from townhall.com, the editors of the New York Times, one of the most reliably liberal mainstream publications in America, are no longer able to ignore or abide by the ongoing chaos at the southern border. In a new House editorial, they acknowledge reality and urge congressional Democrats to get serious about the problem, including a call to fulfill the Trump administration's latest budget request on this front. The New York Times editorial board put out in on Twitter, President Trump is right. There is a crisis at the southern border. Coming to us from ChristianNews.net, Republican Georgia Governor Brian Kemp signed a bill into law Tuesday that requires abortionists to first check for a heartbeat before being permitted to kill an unborn child. But with the state, with the stated compromised exceptions of rape, incest, the life of the mother, or when the pregnancy is deemed medically futile, House Bill 41 is also known as the Living Infants Fairness and Equality Act, mandates that no abortion is authorized or shall be performed if an unborn child has been determined to have a detectable human heartbeat. It also clarifies in regard to Georgia homicide law, for the homicide of an unborn child, the right to recover for the full value of life as such child begin at the point of which a detectable human heartbeat is present. The lawmaker sponsoring this said in the eye, it was asked if the eyes of those who crafted the legislation, a heartbeat is the marker for when personhood begins. And this would be Representative Ginny Earnhardt said exactly yes. I beg to differ with you, though, Representative. She said, for centuries, a heartbeat has been the discernible, tangible indication of life. The absence of a heartbeat indicates death. The presence of a heartbeat indicates life. That's what this bill is attempting to do. This is how we're seeking to define personhood. I'm all in favor of seeing the stopping of abortion, but indeed, life does begin at conception. LifeSiteNews.com, Iowa Republican Governor Kim Reynolds gave her signature Friday to a state budget containing two measures denying taxpayer funds to two left-wing social priorities, gender reassignment surgery, and the abortion lobby's influence over sex education. Let's see, FoxNews.com, there have been growing calls for Brian Sims, a Democratic state representative in Pennsylvania, who came under fire after a video surfaced of him harassing an elderly pro-life woman to resign. The calls grew louder after a video emerged of him offering an online viewer $100 to dox teenage girls who were praying peacefully outside a Philadelphia Planned Parenthood abortion clinic. Planned Parenthood said it did not condone Sims's approach, but called him a champion on pro-choice issues. LifeNews.com says that Pennsylvania's pro-life leaders and state Republicans are demanding that Democratic State Representative Brian Sims be criminally investigated for harassing several women and also harassing teenage girls outside this Philadelphia abortion facility this spring. Back in 1 minute for a few more stories. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed his blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're doing a news roundup day here today. Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be having a special Mother's Day tribute program, giving you opportunity to call in and just finishing off the week on a blessed note. Here's a story from Newsmax.com. Lawmakers in Florida approved a bill to ban sanctuary cities in the Sunshine State. And Governor Ron DeSantis, awaiting his signature for that, he said this: "I thank the Florida legislature for presenting me with a bill that upholds the rule of law and addresses sanctuary cities and counties in Florida. We're a stronger state when we protect our residents, foster safe communities, and respect the work of law enforcement." The Tampa Bay Times reported Thursday the measure passed both in the House and the Senate. That's last week, Thursday. Also, from the Sunshine State News, the decision was made early this week that in Pinellas County, deputies will receive formal training from ICE in how to properly detain illegal immigrants charged with crimes. The announcement certainly comes as this legislation was passed in the state legislature. Something very, very troubling. Very, very troubling. CBN News has a story, and I've seen it in so many sources, but these new sex ed standards that have been passed in the state of California telling kindergartners that they may be transgender. California approved controversial new sex education guidelines Wednesday that encourage teachers to discuss gender identity with kindergartners and to advise LGBTQ teenagers about relationships and so-called safe sex. While LGBTQ activists applauded the new guidelines, many parents and teachers raised strong objections about them. Critics compiled a 700-page document claiming that the new public school guidelines violate parental rights and unnecessarily exposes young children to adult topics that should be discussed at home instead. The guidelines encourage teachers to tell kindergarten students that they could be transgender. The goal is not to cause confusion about the gender of the child, but to develop an awareness that other expressions exist, they say. Folks, it's all about getting at young children. Here from LifeSiteNews.com, hundreds of California parents protested this controversial proposed curricula for young students that would incorporate the achievements of LGBT-identifying individuals by keeping their children out of class last Friday. An estimated 700 students stayed at home from school in the 12,000 student Rockland School District that was reported. Concerned parents say the younger elementary grades are not ready for discussions on LGBT issues and that parents should make the call on when to introduce them. It is after the minds of children to take them away from what the Bible has said about God creating man, God creating woman, male and female created he them. And many parents have been frustrated by this, and it's happening in school district after school district around the nation. Libraries are having these drag queen story hours, and sadly, there are parents that are taking their kids in these sessions. And even as a drag queen had, and we have played the clip here on Crosstalk before, how they have indicated, even in public testimony, that it is their part in grooming children. It was a Dylan Pontiff that had testified that they were grooming children. Friends, are you bringing your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in a society that is thumbing its nose at God on this issue? I just came across a book here recently. It is a board book. It's designed for preschoolers. 2, 3, 4, and 5 years of age. You know, these hardcover board books. And it's one that has been recently released called The Very Best Plan. The Very Best Plan. And it begins, our great big God had you in mind when he created all mankind. Yes, even before the world began, God had a very special plan. The book goes into what that plan is on creating male and female, and how God brought them together in marriage, and then to have children, to love each other, etc., and how God designed then another mom and dad to raise the best son the world ever had, talking about Mary and Joseph and the birth of the Lord Jesus. And then the gospel is presented in this board book. I mean, it's, you know how the heavy cardboard books are. And then at the very close talks about marriage, about it all starts with a bride and a groom who promise they will live side by side. This is a very best plan, you see, because that's how God meant marriage to be. This is a tremendous tool to get into your hands to teach your children at very early ages what God's word has to say on the issue. And I bring this to your attention because I was just in communication with our bookstore, the VCY bookstore, and this book, as it just came out, they are featuring it during this month of May 2019 only. It is a book that normally retails for $10.99 as a hardcover board book, but they are featuring this through the end of this month, May 31st, 2019, for just $5.93, plus any applicable tax. If you need it shipped to you, they'll have to ship it to you, and you'll have those expense. But 46% off, and what a great tool to get into your hands as parents. What a great gift, a shower gift or something that can get into your hands in order to teach your children or grandparents to read to your grandchildren this book called The Very Best Plan. Again, it's designed for preschoolers in particular. A five-year-old, a six-year-old will certainly also benefit from this, but will teach them early on what God has to say and present it in this board book form. If you'd like to contact the VCY bookstore, you can do so at vcy.com, vcy.com. You'll find it listed there. Normally $10.99, they have it for $5.93, 46% off, you know, just as a means to get it into your hands. 46% off vcy.com, or you may call them at this number, 1-888-722-4829. They have just a single phone line going in there, so if you find it busy, call back in a short time. That's 1-888-722-4829. It's called The Very Best Plan. Tremendous board book that addresses this matter from a Christian perspective and not the influences that are trying to get in with the LGBTQ plus organization seeking to get into schools, holding these gay pride celebrations and school assemblies and everything else that's going on. But this certainly counters that attempt, and wanted to bring that to your attention. By the way, DailyWire.com is reporting a scientifically unproven experiment on children suffering from gender dysphoria at a, this is out of the UK, folks. This scientifically unproven experiment on children suffering from gender dysphoria at the NHS Gender Clinic in the UK has led to as many as 18 resignations from clinicians. They say some gay children are struggling with their sexuality, are being wrongly diagnosed as transgender by the Gender Identity Development Service Clinic, reports the Times of London. All five former staff were responsible for deciding which trans-identifying youngsters should be given hormone blockers to halt their sexual development. The vast majority of those who begin blockers go on to irreversible cross-sex hormones once they reach age 16. And folks, they're experimenting on tiny, small, little children. Over the past decade, the number of children referred to the clinic has skyrocketed from 94 children in 2010 to a whopping 2,519 just last year. At the clinic, treatment can begin at 3 years of age. Often the children are subjected to the experiment without proper assessment from an expert as to the nature of their gender confusion, according to some NHS specialists. This experimental treatment is being done not only on children, but on very vulnerable children, said one. The five clinicians that spoke with the Times pointed out that the blame at transgender advocacy charities like Mermaids for making the false claim that gender transitioning in children will suddenly cure them of their dysphoria and concomitant emotional distress. In the United States, Dr. Michelle Critella, president of the American College of Pediatricians, has denounced gender transitioning in children as child abuse. Three-year-old children, folks. Outrageous what is happening. Couple more stories here before we open the phone lines. Tennessee, this is from ChristianNews.net, transgender suing Tennessee in an effort to have birth certificate changed to reflect gender identity. Four transgender people have filed suit against the state of Tennessee in an effort to obtain a court order that would allow them to have their birth certificate changed to reflect their gender identity. Tennessee allows residents who identify as transgender to change their driver's licenses and state identification card, but not their birth certificate. Very interesting indeed. And I'm just fast-forwarding here to, the story here, weightlifting league. This is from Breitbart. A weightlifting league has revoked awards to a transgender weightlifter who claimed to have broken several women's weightlifting records. We had this just a week ago here in Crosstalk, I believe it was. Our rules and the basis of separating genders for competition are based on physiological classification rather than on identification, said a statement from Paul Bossy, president of 100% Raw Powerlifting Federation. He said, on the basis of all information presented to the board of directors for this particular case, the conclusion made is that the correct physiological classification is male. Since a lifter's gender classification for the purpose of our rules is not consistent with female, no female records will be broken by these lifts. Well, at least a little bit of common sense reigned there. LifeSiteNews.com reports on this Israel Folau, this evangelical Christian rugby football star from Australia. He was found guilty of breaching the Rugby Australian Code of Conduct for quoting scripture, Paul's biblical teachings against fornication and homosexuality. What did he say? He had posted on Instagram that hell awaits if there is no repentance for drunks, homosexuals, adulterers, liars, fornicators, thieves, atheists, idolaters. And now he's facing expulsion and or a fine by the Rugby Australia. A three-person independent tribunal wrapped up on Tuesday, 2 days ago. There are 3 days of deliberation and found him guilty of a high-level breach of the code of conduct enforced by the governing body of Australia rugby teams. So far, no sanction has been announced against him. However, he may face cancellation of his $4 million contract, forego a chance to appear in the forthcoming Rugby World Championship. It's amazing, folks, what is happening. That's why books like that one for boys and girls, Very Best Plan, is so, so critical. Couple other notes here. By the way, if you'd like to get online here, you can call our toll-free call-in number, 800-733-9829. If you'd like to comment on these stories or other current event stories, 800-733-9829. A Christian woman held on death row for 8 years in Pakistan, reports CBN, is a free woman now. Her lawyer said the mother of five is finally reunited with her daughters in Canada. Wilson Chowdhury of the British Pakistani Christian Association told the Associated Press that he received a text message from a British diplomat saying Asiya is out. Officials at Pakistan's Interior and Foreign Ministries also confirmed her departure from the country on condition of anonymity. So Asiya Bibi finally leaving Pakistan as a free woman. FoxNews.com reports political correctness continues to alarming anti-Christian hostility around the world and caters to the terrorists trying to eradicate Christianity. The interim findings of a report released last month commissioned by the British Foreign Secretary Jeremy Hunt shows that anti-Christian hostility is not only spreading geographically, but also in severity in some areas coming close to meeting the international definition of genocide. We're going to take a break, and phone lines are open here. If you have a comment you'd like to make, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Back in just a minute, and I'm going to quickly cover one more story, and it's regarding the Colorado school shooting. Here in just a moment, this is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Well, we just finished up our national conference at Lake of the Ozarks, and the theme was Holocaust Horizon. This is a serious topic and one that we as Christians must address. Why? Because there's a watching world looking to see if we're willing to put our actions where our faith claims to be. One story would be that of Albert Einstein. Everyone knows who Albert Einstein is. He was a Jewish man, and he left Germany. But before he left Germany, he noticed that the editorial papers had gone silent on what was happening to the Jews. The professors at the universities had gone silent. Those he thought would speak up about liberty and freedom had gone silent. And then, he said, a group of people which he had very little respect for stood up and stood squarely in the path of Adolf Hitler. It was a small group of Christians. And he declared that group which he had very little respect for, he now praises unreservedly. There are unbelievers watching how we respond to the anti-Semitism that is growing. May we do as we're called and defend the people of God.
And certainly another tragedy has taken place. We see the depravity of man all around us. We see it evidenced. Evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse, deceived and being deceived. From WND.com, one of the suspects in Tuesday's shooting that killed a person, injured eight others at a Colorado school, has been identified as a juvenile in the midst of transitioning from female to male, according to sources of a Denver television station. The other suspect identified as well. The Times reported that on social media, the one hated Christians for their teaching on homosexuality. Apparently was not a fan of President Trump either. His account shared a video. The Heavy.com said his account shared a video of comedian and TV host Seth Meyers attacking the president. And also an interesting story from Charisma News saying a source has reported that the identified shooter, Devin Erickson, owned a car with multiple satanic symbols spray painted on the body, including 666 and a pentagon. Students, Fox News reported students in Colorado stormed out of a vigil Wednesday night for the victims of this school shooting at the STEM school Highlands Ranch after two Democratic politicians took the stage. And what did they do? Called for gun control, according to local news reports. STEM school students walked out of the vigil after Representative Jason Crow and Senator Bennett spoke, tweeted Kyle Clark, an anchor with 9 News in Denver, saying, quote, students said their grief was being politicized. They later returned, took the mic, and said they didn't want to be used to promote gun control. Let's go to the phone lines. Here are number 800-733-9829. Leroy in Atlanta, you're on the air.
How you doing, Jim? I wanted to talk about a story over in Poland where I can't pronounce the name, but there's a young lady who decided to give posters of the Virgin Mary and baby Jesus with rainbow halos. And for that, she's facing 2 years. And of course, the LGBT movement has a problem with it, but the police say there that, you know, we're applying the law to her just like we've done to other people in similar situations where they have defamed property. And, you know, it's ironic that, you know, they feel that this is okay, but you can't wear a MAGA hat.
Very interesting. Thank you, Leroy. I don't have information on that story, but thank you for bringing that to our attention today. Our number 800-733-9829, Duluth, Minnesota. Scott, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. Just have a comment. You know, none of this, though it is surprising and it's unbelievable to see the shape of our country in which it's in right now, but when Donald Trump got elected as president, that definitely stirred the pot. And we as Christians, if the Christians would get out and vote in mass, because I believe there's more of us than there is of them, we just got to put shoe leather to where our talk is and be willing to die on the hill, so to speak, for what we believe in. It's about time we as Christians take up our cross and be willing, not only in prayer, but be willing to, A, know the facts, know what we believe, and stand on what we believe and take our country back. Because if we do not, we've got a president in there. I've been voting since Jimmy Carter. This is the first time that I can ever remember anybody from the Oval Office, including Ronald Reagan, saying what President Trump has said. And I believe he is placed there by God Almighty. It's my belief he's been placed there by God Almighty. And us Christians have to get behind him. If we don't, then in five or six years from now, we will pay the consequence. And not only us, but our children and our grandchildren. Thank you for letting me share my view.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate you sharing your view here on the program. And as he hung up there, I just like to make mention that certainly our duty as believers in Christ is to follow the very dictates of Scripture itself. And that is to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, where it said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live by the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we do need to pick up our cross and follow Jesus Christ. We need to do that which is right, being salt and be light. And that really needs to be our allegiance in this world today, is that of following what Scripture has said. And, so often we have hearkened back to the verse from 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. And just as we can observe back in history how Israel forsook their God, how Israel turned their back on him, let's go back to Egypt. At least we had good food there, and they complained against God and went their own way. What, shouldn't that be a lesson to us? Should that not be a lesson for us as believers in Christ, to turn from our wicked ways and to follow after God, to seek his face and certainly turn our hearts toward him? And that really does need to be our number one responsibility in this life, in all that we say, in all that we do. And certainly we are to be good citizens and to pray for those that are in authority over us, to be a voice of righteousness, to stand up for that which is right and true and moral, and to denounce that which is wickedness and sin, as the prophets did of old. And so that is certainly my encouragement to you, and thanks for letting me share that with you here this afternoon as well. Well, friends, we're out of time here on Crosstalk today, and we thank you for taking time to call in and listen and be a part of the broadcast. So much that's taking place by and the part of news today, and many more stories I never did get to here today. But we thank you for tuning in, and trust that you will take time to invite others to be listening to this broadcast station as well, and to listen to Crosstalk as we present the critical issues that are so ignored by so much media here across the nation, but to also to provide a biblical Christian perspective on the matters. So thank you for listening here today. Don't forget, Lord willing, tomorrow we plan to have our Mother's Day call-in program, a special tribute where you may call in to honor a mother, certainly a mother that you hold dear. So plan to join us for that special broadcast here on Crosstalk. Thanks for listening. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.